pastors, isn't it? We just pick on you people. This is Joel. You'll notice that I said Joel, not Joel. Okay, it looks like Joel, but they pronounce it Joel. Okay, so make sure you get that one right. He doesn't become incensed because I did not know this even until yesterday. I had had numerous conversations and he never corrected me. So he's an easygoing guy. They live over in Toledo. Did your wife make it over this morning? Where is she at? Oh, there she is. All right, this is Renee and Jonas, okay? And Jonas is like, what's Dad doing up there?
Yeah.
You know, what's he doing? Hey, Jonas, how are you, bud? I've met him by webcam, but that's it. So he's like, oh, that's that crazy guy. So thank you for leading with us this morning. They live over in Toledo right now, and so he's driving over either on Saturdays and staying with some of our folks or on early on Sunday mornings. So for those of you, right, I'm going there. Those of you who can't make it to church on time, you have now then a litmus test, right? It's like he's going to have to probably get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready and come on over. Renee works as a respiratory therapist. Did I get that right? With kiddos. Right, with kids. Okay. And at University of Michigan's Children's Hospital thing. Did I get that right? Okay. Just making sure. So it's going to be hard for her to be with us much because she has to work a weekend day. And so you can imagine if she's doing 12 on a Saturday, then for her to drive from Ann Arbor all the way over to here is going to be extremely difficult. So you'll see her some, but we just want to be a great encouragement to them. Joel is going to get us from now to the end of the year. We hope that it lasts a whole lot longer. So some of you who are not our nice people, don't go introduce yourselves, okay, this morning. I'm kidding. I'm just making sure you're awake. Everybody's like, well, am I one of those mean people? Come ask us. No, I'm kidding. But we're excited about having them. We hope that it turns into a long-term thing. Obviously, with them being in Toledo, it would mean a lot of changes for their family, okay? And so we just need to pray through that and see what God does. Let's do a few announcements here this morning. The first one, it's not in your bulletin. Go ahead and get those out. But that's not in there. Operation Christmas Child. If you haven't been a part of that ministry before, it's phenomenal. You put together this little shoebox full of all kinds of goodies, and it goes to other kids on the side of the world that will not have a Christmas without you doing that. And so we do it with our family to where we take the boys with us to the dollar store, and we just, you know, pack up stuff. Hey, what would you get a little boy, you know, your age? And, you know, what would you get this person? And so we put all those things in a shoebox. You include $7 for the shipping and you're good to go. We actually pay for ours online because then in about a month or two, they will send you an email telling you what country that your shoebox went to. All right. And so it's kind of cool to be able to track that. I can tell then the boys, you know, hey, here's where your stuff went to. There is a sample box and there's all the literature that you need on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper right out there by where the Bibles and the greeting table is. Okay. So if you need to know how to do it, everything is out there with a sheet of paper that you can walk with. You're supposed to bring them back by, there it is, Sunday, November 23rd. That's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Isn't this exciting? Thanksgiving is coming up. Yes. Some of you are not that excited about Thanksgiving. What's the matter with you people? Okay, it's free food at my place. So it's exciting that we are in November and also a little like, wow, where has this year gone? But that's what we need to do there. Next announcement, I'm trying to remember what we had in order here. Oh, midweek ministry groups. That starts this Tuesday. You should have an insert in your bulletin. On one side it says Status 31 Moms. On the other side, it has our midweek ministries. I am super excited about the launch of this Tuesday evening. We're going to have a phenomenal time in the kids area. Why? Because I'm in there. And so we're going to have a good time. Hey, if I'm going to come, I'm not going to come and be bored. Okay? So we have really come up with some fun things for kids. We've got quite a few kids that have already told us that they're coming. And so we should have a great group on Tuesday night. We've got everything from, I think, babies all the way up through. So we've got nurses. We've got kids, preschool, and adults. You guys are going to be studying The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. It's one of the best studies that I've ever been through, and so you'll have that, and so it's going to be a great night. 6:30 to 7:30, so here's what I'm going to challenge you to. 6 weeks. So, wow, that's not much, and it's actually 6 evenings. The first 3 Tuesdays in November, and the first three Tuesdays in December, okay? Those are the six Tuesday evenings that we'll be here going through our stuff. So commit to being here for that. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Next one I think is growth groups and stuff, right? Yeah, we have growth groups going on, and so if you're interested in those, go to our website. You can find out more. The youth ministry has already been meeting. They're called 631. Actually, they're like 630 because we're starting at 6:30, but they'll be called 6:31, okay? On Tuesday evenings, they've already had their Bible studies going on. They will now meet here, okay? And so we're excited about what's going to happen with that. Was there anything else? Did we get it all? Oh, Get to Know Gateway. If you are brand new to Gateway or you haven't been to a Get to Know Gateway, immediately following the service for about 30 minutes, I'll just kind of walk you through everything. We will be in what's called the lounge. If you're new here and you know what's the lounge, when you go out these doors, go to the right. You will dead end right into it, okay? You'll be walking straight to it, and so I'll meet you in there. Last 30 minutes, and we're done, okay? All right, we are going through this morning a series that I'm really excited about, and I feel like it's going to give our church a lot of momentum. This is not a series that 3 months from now that you're going to be like, oh, I never did hear more about that. This is going to be part of the core of who we are. It's going to be about the core of what, if anyone comes in and says, what are you about? Okay? If you've been around, you know that our vision is to lead people to love God, live in community, serve the city. But then the question becomes, well, how does that work? What do you do? I didn't want to put 21 things down because no one remembers that. I wouldn't even remember that. You've got to kind of simplify it somewhat. We're going to look at the five paths to a productive Christian life, and this will be something that in my messages that I will always refer back to. And I will say, you know, just like in our five paths, this one represents this, okay? So like this morning, we're studying learner. And so if you look around that Venn diagram there, there's learner, hospitable, compassionate, server, and investor. And if you'll notice right in the middle, it says producer. The one for producer is not one that you work to attain. Guess what? In that verse, in John 15:8, Jesus talks about that if you are my disciples, you will bear fruit. The byproduct of doing these five things, being those five things, is going to produce that kind of fruit, okay? And so that's why we put producer in the middle, because that's where Jesus said we would ultimately attain to. So it's not anything that you got to work towards. You're not going to say, well, I've just got to be a better producer. No. You will produce if you're being a learner, if you're being hospitable, if you're being compassionate, if you're being a server, you're being an investor. So what will happen is this is not a series that's going away. Each week we will go over one of these, and in 3 months from now, let's say that I'm doing the story of the Good Samaritan, okay? Those of you who've been around, you'd be able to look up there and go, well, hey, he was a compassionate guy, wasn't he? Right? He was hospitable. And I will refer back to that so that anybody who's new that's coming in starts going, okay, I get it. I understand now more about the Christian life of what Jesus would ask me to be. So these are not doing things. These are being, okay? This is what we want to be, all right? So let's look at the first thing here. First thing is this. Learners will consistently and volitionally place themselves underneath someone, okay? Learners will consistently and volitionally place themselves under someone. Now, this is how I usually know the type of people that I want to surround myself with. They're learners, because I'm challenged by that, and honestly, I'm energized by it. That's why if someone comes in and they go, yeah, you know, all my life I've been a diesel mechanic. I don't know anything about being a diesel mechanic, but I'm like, wow, man, you work on loud engines and stuff, you know, and what happens, you know? And they're like, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, well, it is to me, because if you've ever been on a charter tour bus, you've probably been on a Detroit diesel, okay? You've been powered by that thing, and you'll see it sometimes lifted up to where it's stranded somewhere. You want someone that knows how to do that. You want someone that knows how to fix that. And I'm always enamored that they can go, yeah, here's what our problem is. And I'm like, well, it all looks like a problem to me. You know, I don't know what to do with this. But I'm enamored by that, and I'm challenged by that. And the type of person that is a follower of Jesus is a learner. They're a lifelong learner. And so let's look at this real quickly in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 14. Do we have those verses? Yeah. Then the Lord said to Moses, Come up to me on the mountain. Stay there and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I've inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people. Next one. There we go. So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up to the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I am gone, consult with them. What we're going to talk about is Joshua is the learner. He is a great human model for us, and we're going to talk this morning about how Joshua positioned himself to be a learner. If you notice here, he's Moses' assistant. Okay? Now, if you know anything about Christianity, you read your Bible, you're like, well, wait a second, he's got a whole book named after him. That's much later on. How did that come about? Because Joshua positioned himself as a learner. He didn't seek to attain leadership. That wasn't his goal. His goal was what? He's going to be a learner. Now, one of the things in my background is music. I have a degree in violin, and so I know a lot about music. But there's one thing that I learned early on that helped me immensely. And it wasn't that I was necessarily better at playing. I was better at practicing. I placed myself underneath a private teacher who wasn't the best at playing, but he was incredible at practice methods. He had techniques. Because here's what a typical student does. They see a hard run, so that's like a really fast run, and they go and try to do it. Nope, messed up. And then they try it again. And it's like they get this running start, and they think every single time that it's going to get better. And he stopped and he goes, no. Let me show you some techniques. If you learn these techniques, you'll fly past everybody. Well, what happened was, is while I was in high school, I started teaching some students that were in junior high, 7th graders, 8th graders. And so I wasn't the best. I wasn't part of the symphony. Okay, I wasn't old enough to be in that. I wasn't all those other things. But what happened was my students wound up 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th chair all region. It made the symphony people angry at me. I did not know that until my teacher said, hey, I want you to know the symphony people are mad at you. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I'm just a kid, you know. And he's like, well, they don't like it because they're here in relation to you here, and yet you're teaching students, and here was the whispering, well, he shouldn't be teaching them because if they're that good, you know, we should be the ones teaching them. And he goes, the reason why they're that good is you taught them technique. You taught them how to learn, how to practice. Guess what? There are things in our Christian life that it's just a matter of learning how to be a learner. It's placing yourself underneath someone to be a learner. Let's go to point number two here. Learners are faithful to the cause. Okay, learners are faithful to the cause. These are the type of people who don't quit when it gets tough. They remain faithful to that leader. Let's look at the verses here. Numbers 11, 27 to 29. A young man ran and reported to Moses, Eldad and Medad. I always wanted to include you dad and her dad. But anyway, they weren't around, I guess. Or not important. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. All right, so that's the first part. Joshua, here's our guy again, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested, Moses, my master, make them stop. All right, next verse. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. Now, Joshua was wrong in his conclusion as to what was going on. He wanted to put some of the prophecy stuff. But Moses is like, no, this is actually really, really good. But notice what he's doing. He's being faithful to the leader and realizing, wait a second. If all these other people start gaining followers, Moses is not going to be the leader anymore. And I know that God has said that Moses is to be our leader. What is Joshua doing? He's going, master, man, what do we got to do to get it stopped? He's faithful to the cause because he is clear as to what God has called him to do and be. Third one is this. Learners will trudge through the mundane. Okay? Learners will trudge through the mundane. I chose those words very, very carefully because if you've ever been around Christianity for very long, it's a matter of getting up, doing it, and learning. Getting up, doing it, and learning. And there's days that you read your Bible and you walk away and you go, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this. I have no idea why that would impact me whatsoever. I got nothing out of it. The next morning you wake up and you're hopeful. And you walk away and you say, I got nothing. I got nothing out of that. If you've ever tried to read the Bible through, and you're like, yes, this next year I'm going to read the Bible through. And then you get to the book of Numbers. And it's all genealogy. And it's all the Eldads and me dads and everybody's dad. And you're just going, you know. You have a legitimate quiet time. It's very quiet. Like, okay, that's the way it goes, you know. And you get to that, you know, I don't get it. Why? You know what a learner does? They trudge the mundane. Everybody's looking for a silver bullet. You know how you get better at something? You do it every day. You do it every day. And you trudge through the mundane. And you get through it. And you realize one day you finally get past the wall. Everybody talks about it hitting the wall. If you're an exercise enthusiast, there's this thing where you just never get past your time. Never get past. You can't get it. You can't get it. You get so frustrated. But if you stay after it, you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, one day it happens where you break through the wall and you go, what happened? There is no silver bullet. You trudge through the mundane. Let's look at this scripture here. Exodus 33, 7 through 11. It was Moses' practice, get this, to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Next. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover over its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Now think about this. Who's remaining behind? Why is he remaining behind? Because he knows it's in there that God talks with Moses. And he's hoping for any word. And let me tell you something. There would have been days and months in which he heard nothing personally. But we honestly believe, most scholars believe, that he could overhear what God and Moses were talking about. What was Joshua doing? Why does Scripture record this? Just because they were like, well, let's write that in there. That's kind of neat. No. They wrote it in there to say, this is a testimony of this man. This man was a learner before God. He trudged through the mundane just hoping that God would give him a word. And he would hold on to that with his dear life. Number four is this. Learners are ultimately fruitful. Okay? Learners are ultimately fruitful. When you continue on and continue on and continue on and you put yourself in a position of learner, you will be fruitful. God will work in your life. He will bring back scriptures to you in a moment of need. Many of you have been there before. You know this, that if I asked you, give me 10 scripture verses, and you'd go, okay, we sang one this morning, all things work together for my good. Yeah, that's always a good one. But isn't it amazing in a moment of like a tragedy or a tough moment, how all of a sudden a scripture will come to your heart and mind that you didn't realize was even there. And you'll go, wow, what happened? At some point in time, you were just like Joshua, waiting for a word, didn't see how it connected. You trudged through the mundane, and all of a sudden, when you needed it most, boom, there it was. The Holy Spirit of God placed it within your heart and said, here it is. And it was just like bread on a day that you were so hungry. It was just like water and you're out in the middle of the desert and you're like, oh, here it is. This is what I got to hold on to. That's what a learner will do. Let's look at a practical plan here for learning from God. Okay, practical plan for learning from God. Number one is consistency. You need a time, a place, a plan. I know lots of people who have ideas. They're wonderful at coming up with ideas. They're terrible at coming up with a plan. Do you know what the difference between an idea and a plan is? Okay, let me give it to you practically. You actually do it. I know lots of people have come to me and said, oh, Pastor Alex, man, one of these days, man, I'd love to be a church planner, and I think that God's calling me to plant a church, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, don't talk about it anymore. Go start it up. And they're like, I was talking with Joel last night, and I told him, I said, people will ask me, well, you know, how do we get this ministry going? And I'm like, okay, let me give you a great revelation from God. You need to hang on to this, because this is really, really deep. You start it. But how do I start it? You start it. But I don't have people. You start it. Let me give you the recipe for starting something. You have no building, no budget, no nothing. You have no people. And you start it. You have to have a plan in which you say, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. A learner doesn't just say, well, one of these days I'll learn. No. They have a plan in which they're going to learn by. I'm going to give you a few practical things. First one is the Bibles that we have right out here at the table in the very front. There's reading plans and all kinds of things that points you to Scripture. So that if you walk in and you go, man, I don't know anything about the Bible. This is very, very intimidating. I don't even know where to start. Get one of those. Take them. You don't have to ask anybody. Just walk by, get one. In the front, it will give you reading plans. Okay, it will show you exactly what to do. It'll give you topical things. That'll help get you going. Okay, the other thing that you can do is to become a learner is maybe come to our Tuesday night stuff for the adults. This is going to be studying those spiritual disciplines. I love what John Ortberg has subtitled it, Spiritual Practices for Ordinary People. I love that subtitle because it helps you to kind of get going. You put yourself in a position of learner. The other one that many of you may have seen before, there is a Bible app that you can get on everything, whether it's your smartphone or your own personal computer, whatever it may be. It's called YouVersion, okay? But if you go in there, it may say that it's by Life Church TV. That's the same group. There isn't a reading plan that they have not come up with, okay, that you could come up with. I mean, there is everything. From, wow, I can't do too much. I don't want a Bible plan of reading for the whole year. What can I do? It has every kind of topical one that you can possibly imagine. You key it in. It will send you a notification if you're behind, right? It'll show you how you can catch up, right? It'll give you the ability to say to it, I can't do 7 days a week. Give me 4, right? It will help you put yourself in a position of learner and plan, okay? Execute the plan. Next one is this. Number 2, creatively. Okay? Creatively. All right? When you're trudging through the mundane, you got to get a little creative here. Let me give you a few things. Harness what you have. Okay? Harness what you have. Is that music? Putting on good music. Things that, you know, go ask Joel. Hey, man, what's that stuff that we sing? What's the title of whatever? Where do you get that stuff from? He'll tell you. He'll be able to tell you, hey, go here, you can find these things here. Go on and ask for this kind of music on whatever, you know, little app. If you use Pandora or whatever that you use, you can put in this dude's name and it's going to be similar style, and that's the way you can do it, okay? Harness it. Next one is this, nature. Nature. Get out in nature. If you're the one that likes to connect to nature and that's where you can hear from God, take 15 minutes just to get away from it all and calm your heart down so that you can hear. So that you're ready to be a learner, okay? Next one is this, time in the car. All right, man, we all spend a lot of time in our cars. I can listen to talk radio, but all it does is get my blood pressure up, okay? I mean, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to call in! But I'm a pastor, and people are going to recognize, so I'm going to call in his Bill from North Ridgeville, you know? And you sounded just like Bill from North Ridgeville. No, it's not me, you know, denying as Peter did, you know? It's not me! But on the inside, you're like, it was me, and I called in, and I gave them a piece of my mind, you know? I just had to learn to get away from that, because it doesn't do any earthly good, nor does it do any eternal good. I just have to get away from it, okay? And what I've learned to do is put some things on the radio that's going to uplift me, encourage me, whatever it may be, okay? If I need to get podcasts of guys that are great speakers and great Christian, you know, musicians or speakers, whatever it may be, you've got to harness your time. You've got to harness your time because all of us have so little. You got to compress as much as you can, okay? Next one. 3 is community, okay? Decisions made alone are disastrous, okay? So let me give it to you like this. You are a learner before God, okay? You're a learner before God, but you're a learner with the body of Christ. Now, most people, and occasionally I get someone that's like, well, I don't really need the church, and I don't really need a growth group, and I don't really need... And I say to them this, it was exemplified way before creation. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yes, with aliens. And then I go, I'm just teasing. And then they're like, oh, okay. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what are they in? Community. They're in community. The model was there before the earth was created, before mankind was coming along. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in one. They are in community. Then Jesus talked about that he is what? The head of the church, but then we are the body, right? It'd be odd that we're all just these scattered parts. No, he says, you are a body. You are brought together. We need a community. I cannot tell you the number of people who have made absolutely disastrous decisions because they did it on their own because they thought their relationship with Jesus was strong enough. And then they're looking at me going, man, what happened? I'm like, who did you talk to? Who did you get counsel from? Who did you? I usually, when I'm up against a big decision, I'll talk with about 8 people that I know give great godly counsel. And they don't, some of them live around here and some of them live a long ways away. I've got a mixture. You know why? I want some people who's not looking through the prism of Cleveland and Gateway. And I want some people that are going, I have no idea what Cleveland, you know, is about. I have no clue. I have no clue really what Gateway's about. So that they can do what? They can speak into my life and I can see everything that I probably need to see and know. Next thing is this. We all need encouragement. Okay, we all need encouragement. Churches are supposed to be that source. We're supposed to be the ones in one another's corner saying, hey man, I'm with you. You can do this. It's one of the reasons why in that Venn diagram that I have out the compassionate one, it's different than pity. See, compassion means to suffer with. Passion literally means to suffer. We've changed that word. No one on the street, if you said, give me the definition of passion, they go to suffer, you know. But that's what it means. The prefix C-O-M is with, to suffer with. You know what encouragement is? Man, it's coming alongside, taking somebody's burden and lifting. That's suffering with. Pity is oh man, I feel sorry for them. Right? That's a distance kind of thing. As Christians, we're called to be compassionate. As a learner, it's not just about you. And this is where I usually get so irritated with the really brainy Christian. I love their brain. I usually don't like them relationally because they tell everybody what they're doing wrong. And if you only read this, and if you only did that, and if you only... And you're like, hey, can you warm up a little? You need to thaw out. You're like the North Pole, man. You know, can you come down to at least Cleveland weather? You know, they struggle. You know why? Because they think learning is all about them and God. No. Learning is about you and God, but learning is also this way. Learning is this way. We are to be in community. I learn why. Yes, for my relationship with God, but also so that I can pour out to you and that you can pour back into me. That's what community is really all about. Last part here. Jesus is our model. Look at this. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus as a teenager was growing? Weird, isn't it? You know, because we always see him as kind of savior, kind of the end, you know, kind of thing. But he was learning. Look at that verse. Jesus grew in what? Wisdom. What is that? Learner. There's our model. Joshua is kind of that earthly guy, one that we can maybe relate to a little bit better because he wasn't just Mr. Perfect. But Jesus was saying, hey, I'm not exempt either. I'm going to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and all the people. What did he have? Look at it. Wisdom is what? Vertically, right? But what does it say? Favor with God and all the people. Right there in that one verse. Joshua did it. Jesus did it. Your good practical stuff this morning as we're about to take up our offering is this. We are to be a carrier of his presence. You know what the goal of a learner is? You know what the goal of the 5 paths that we're going to be talking about? The goal is to carry the gospel of Jesus. The goal is that someone doesn't just think, wow, they know a lot of stuff. Okay, that's the brainiac Christian. The goal is that they go, wow, they know a lot of stuff, but man, they pray for me. They encourage me. They're in my corner. They're compassionate. They're hospitable. See, these are being things, not knowing things. Being things. That's our target. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. We're about to take up our offering, but I just want to ask you this one question. Are you in the position, have you placed yourself in the position of being a learner? And I think a learner takes on many forms. It's certainly being here this morning. Hopefully you've learned. Hopefully you've grown. Hopefully you will grow as a result. But do you have a solid plan in place as to how you're going to learn from God so that you can carry His presence, to carry the gospel? See, a lot of times we just think learning is about us. And it is, but it's a both and. We are to model and watch after the way Jesus lived. And when it says He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with all of God and then all of the people, that's our target. Joshua was that way. And the most amazing thing about Joshua is he always thought he was just to be a learner because Moses was to be the leader. And one day God came to Moses and said, "You will not lead the people in the promised land. It will be Joshua." And imagine the shock in Joshua's heart and in his mind of just thinking, "I'm not the leader, I'm the learner." But that's who God uses. God doesn't appoint leaders. He takes learners and develops them into leaders so that they carry His presence. Lord Jesus, as we come now to this time of offering and realizing what You paid for us that we give back, Lord Jesus, that we would realize that's part of carrying Your presence so that the gospel can go forward, so that missions can happen. Lord Jesus, make us a learner. May we sit at Your feet and learn, but then may we walk away carrying Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.